Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church as we now continue our Lenten road together. We began this Lenten season last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, as those of you who were with us received your ash cross upon your forehead. And we now begin and continue that journey together as we give thanks to God for all of God's gifts. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're with us. If you're with us online, someone may have needed you to be here today, so I'm glad that you made it. There are Sunday school bags on the back pew, so if there are children here or there will be children coming to visit you this afternoon or this week, please make sure that they get a Sunday school bag. Also, a reminder that we have Sunday school now in between services once again. There's adult Sunday school in the parlor, and there is Sunday school for children up in the education wing, so join us for that. I'm also inviting you to gather with us every Wednesday evening in Lent as we come together for midweek Lenten worship. Worship begins at 7 p.m., and this year we're going to be looking at how the church has used Scripture to help us pray and worship. And so I hope that you will continue this year of prayer and continue your Lenten journey by joining us for midweek Lent worship. Now, next Sunday, actually Saturday night into Sunday, is one of the most dread days of the year. We must move our clock forward ahead. Just a reminder, we'll all lose that hour of sleep, and I will grumble about it for quite a while afterwards, so this is just fair warning. But next Sunday, spring forward, please. All of us have been watching the news and understand that there are horrible things happening in Ukraine. Lutheran Disaster Relief, one of the premier disaster organizations in the world, is trying to help with the refugee situation that is happening then in Poland and Moldova and Estonia and other places nearby. If you would like to make a contribution to that, please, you may write a check to Lutheran Disaster Response, put Ukraine in the memo, and 100% of that will go to help with the refugee crisis right now. There's at least a minimum of 500,000 women and children who are evacuating. All of the men between 18 and 60 need to remain and be willing to or ready to either fight or support. So it's women and children and all of that. And so I leave that for all of us. We've gathered this morning so we can continue our Lenten worship. Let us begin our worship this morning then by joining in our gathering hymn, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Let us rise and sing together.
Thank you. holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We join in our Lenten Kyrie. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, Holy Spirit, breath of the living God, let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now, so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at the first verse. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, you possess it and settle in it. You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and there lived as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 10, the 8th verse. "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. I mean, it's not like a 14-year-old boy who 12 minutes after eating says, I'm hungry. All right? You know, that's a different kind of thing. Have you ever been hungry and exhausted, tired? Have you ever been frustrated and worried about having enough people to accomplish what has to happen? This is what Jesus was like in this morning's gospel. Here we come just after his baptism, after God has claimed and named him as beloved son, after the Holy Spirit has descended in bodily form as a dove, after the heavens have been torn open and voices cry out, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness as he makes his way back to Nazareth. It says here that for 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness. Now, the trip from Jerusalem back up to Nazareth could have taken a lot less time. But the terrain was what rough where he was walking, and Jesus was also wrestling with temptation. In the story, Luke says, for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing and was famished. Now, first of all, I'm really glad that this isn't what we're all supposed to do once we're baptized. All right? That's a great thing. But the 40 days that Jesus spent tempted in the wilderness are the template for our 40 days in Lent. As Jesus walked the wilderness road struggling with temptation, we too walk our Lenten road in confession and contemplation, struggling with our own weakness, our own sin, and with temptation as well. So in today's gospel story, we hear that setting, Jesus, wilderness, 40 days, famished. We see what Jesus has been doing, but in today's gospel story, we're at the end of that 40 days, and the devil comes back with his final attempt to derail Jesus' ministry, his final try to tempt Jesus away from living his life as God's chosen one. To move Jesus away from living his life as our Lord and our friend. Now, in this moment, Jesus is weak and hungry and tired from the walking and the struggling and the wrestling with the temptations. As Jesus has been pondering in these 40 days, the route ahead of him, he knows deeply the world's need for guidance and direction. He knows of the world's need for an end to conflict and an entry of peace. He also knows his need for support and for more and more people to join in his cause and to follow his life sharing God's love. But you see, the devil knew all of these things as well, and this is where the devil hits Jesus, right in the expectations. You see, to me, the temptations Jesus faced have to be real. I joke about the fact that this year I will be giving up for the 56th time in a row Brussels sprouts for Lent. It's worked for me every year. It's great, right? But that's not really a temptation for me. I'm not a guy who eats Brussels sprouts all the time. These temptations for Jesus are real for Jesus. He joins in that struggle. Not the struggle to give up liverwurst or head cheese or something like that. It's the wrestling with needs and desires, with things both good and bad that come before us as temptation. I have often wondered what it is that we can learn from Jesus in this morning's gospel, because Jesus seems to have it all together. He has an answer, quick as you like. And I don't have that. If temptation hits me, I don't have that answer quick as you like. This year, as I was reading and pondering and contemplating this story, I saw things a little different. Because instead of seeing Jesus as confident or almost smug in his response, this year, I see Jesus dealing with these temptations prayerfully. You see, the devil's first temptation is the heavy hitter. Jesus has been without food for 40 days and is famished. All right, if you have fasted for a day or a weekend, maybe you can have a little sympathy. Years ago, I was once part of a 40-hour fast, and I was hungry enough even after that. But Jesus has been fasting 40 days. So this is hunger, real hunger, survival hunger. And then the devil saunters in with temptations of doubt. And then the big one, if you are the Son of God, you can make this stone into bread. The temptation begins with doubts. If you are the Son of God, the devil really wants to define what Son of God will mean for Jesus. Will it truly mean the presence of God's love for all people? Or will it mean someone taken to shortcuts and appetites? This is a real temptation. Jesus is hungry, quite literally starving, but Jesus does have an answer. I have always looked at Jesus' answer as one that had swagger. One does not live by bread alone. Take that, you devil. But if Jesus is really weak and hungry, if this is a real temptation, turn this stone to bread. I now think that Jesus did this prayerfully, not smugly. You see, the quote, one does not live by bread alone, comes from Deuteronomy, where we learn that sometimes hunger helps build character. And I can hear Jesus praying, "Dear Lord, I know that you are with me, and I know that we do not live by bread alone. Give me the strength I need to resist. There is more to our lives. We are not just ash." I find strength and comfort for the likes of me seeing Jesus answer the devil with prayer. The devil is trying to make everything just about Jesus himself, and Jesus automatically responds by bringing God into it. The second temptation has to do with Jesus' ministry. The world was a mess. Well, the world still is a mess. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, catastrophe, it's all there. And the devil shows Jesus all of the world, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all of it. And he says, you could do better. And I will give you authority to do better. All you have to do is worship me. Again, the devil is trying to define what Jesus will do. And the devil shows Jesus all the things that Jesus could help with, could change, could make better. It's not that Jesus wouldn't be a great king of the world. It's the condition that spoils it. Would Jesus really be Jesus? Would Jesus really be the Son of God if he worshiped the devil? So once again, Jesus prays, "Dear Lord, I know that we are to worship only you and serve only you. Give me the strength to worship and to leave go of my good ideas so that I may do your will." Even though it would be wonderful to have Jesus in charge, it is the will of God that needs to be done. The love of neighbors, the care for the outcast, comfort for the afflicted that fills Jesus' days. I find strength and comfort for the likes of me in seeing Jesus answer the devil with prayer again. And the final temptation tries to get Jesus a huge following. This was not the time of online influencers with millions of followers every day. This was the first century when dozens was a large group. The devil says, "I can get you followers. I can get people interested in who you are and what you do. Dive off the temple. God will protect you. People will see that. And they will fall all over themselves to follow someone who can do that. And it's true. Come on, think about it. Jesus' followers would have numbered the hundreds and the thousands, not the 12. Who would they be following, though? Would it be God's chosen and beloved or a flashy carnival show person? Would those people be willing to follow Jesus to the cross or only until the show stopped or it got a little rough? I mean, that happened to Jesus no matter, but would have been even worse. And so Jesus once again prays, "Dear Lord, since I am the Son of God, give me strength to say, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" In that moment, Jesus finally truly stands up to the devil, saying that he, Jesus, will define his ministry, his identity, and choose his followers. After that moment, Jesus begins his ministry and continues to find his strength, his purpose, and his life through prayer. Jesus' confidence comes from God and his purpose as God's chosen one. If Jesus is only confident in his response because of himself, there's not much that I can learn and it's not very far that I can follow. But if Jesus is discovering his strength in scripture and prayer, he is showing me and all of us how we too can respond to the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. We too can find the strength to live if we but live prayerfully. Amen. Please rise as we continue our Lenten confession. This confession began on Ash Wednesday and will continue on through Maundy Thursday. We continue now. Holy God, we come before you with humble hearts, confessing our sins. We have chased all the vanities of the world and have wandered from our heart's true home. And forgetful of you, the living God, we have burned the incense of the soul before false gods that cannot deliver. Deal not with us as we deserve, but pardon our foolish and perverse ways. Of your clemency, wash us clean from all sin, for no adversity shall harm us if no wickedness has dominion over us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we walk this Lenten road, let us glory in the promises that God has made. Let us trust in the presence of the Lord and walk into this week without fear. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Renew your church, O God. When we have drifted from our call to proclaim repentance and to guide your people toward justice, lead us back to you. Encourage believers who hold the church doors open to those who have felt excluded. Lord, in your mercy, renew your creation, O God. Transform parched places into watered gardens and preserve every creature that awaits the arrival of spring. Turn each of us from practices of environmental exploitation to become responsible stewards of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, renew our civic life, O God. Teach those in authority to advocate for liberation of all who are oppressed and grant them courage to make difficult decisions. Lord, in your mercy, O God of peace and mercy, as another war rages, we pray that an end to the conflict comes quickly. We pray that the people of Ukraine, their families, and their children be spared the horrors of war. Amidst our fears, we know that plans for peace are already being worked by your hand, O God. War brings with it turmoil and suffering and death. But God, you answer through people who create sanctuary for one another, who provide healing to one another, and who offer hope to one another. We ask that the leaders of the nations involved, along with their generals and commanders, be reminded of those everyday people, that their hearts may be moved to making peace. Lord, in your mercy, renew our lives, O God. Spare your children from diseases of the body, mind, or spirit, and send healing to those overcome by illness or grief. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we also pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Darlene, Gary, David, Sharon, and Stan. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy, renew this congregation, O God. During these 40 days of Lent, confirm our sense of mission and expand our imagination for ministry. Deepen our faith, increase our love, and draw us into your unfolding work of healing and restoration. Lord, in your mercy, as we mark ashes on our foreheads, we give you praise, O God, for all the saints who died and yet are alive with you. Receive us with them into your eternal embrace. Lord, in your mercy, accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen, and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May your week be one filled with blessing. As you go into the world with hope.
May God stitch our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.